listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I tell the future. I tell the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell. Straight out of Vegas.
Straight out of Vegas!
With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell.
Pay that man his money.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Live from the Vegas Strip, the pregame show America has always wanted. And now, here's RJ Bell.
Straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. You can check out the show on the iHeartRadio app, and wherever you are taking part in the program, we appreciate a few minutes of your time on all of our great Fox Sports Radio affiliates as we take you all the way up until 7 p.m. Eastern time here on FSR. I am Jonas Knox in for RJ Bell alongside Brad Powers, college football, college hoops expert, Steve Fezzik, NFL, NBA expert, all fired up. We had the draft last night in New York. I don't know about you guys, kind of a choppy watch. I had no idea who was going where. I had no idea what was happening. Now, Brad Powers, you're a college basketball expert. Were you even confused by some of the coverage that you watched?
I was, because, I mean, obviously there were several trades that went down during the course of yesterday when we were on air, so it wasn't like I knew all the full details leading up to it. And then there was trades during the show as the draft's going along. ESPN, you know, I guess is going along with it. When that specific team is drafting, they have all the different icons and logos team needs for that team, even though that's not the team that's actually going to get the player. I came away confused, and wow, it was a tough watch. About after 90 minutes, after about the first 10, 12 players were drafted, I moved on to something else. Are you kidding me?
I think each player should get a fashion grade. That could juice up the coverage.
Well, listen, Zion went no tie, and I personally can't stand ties. So the fact that he went there, I was pleased with it, and I give Zion not only the number one pick, but I give him the best outfit of the evening. That or Bull Bull, who decided he was going to go with Spider-Man with the wrong team's hat because he also got caught up in the you got drafted here, but you were traded there, but we don't have the hat on us. Is just where this is anything. So very confusing. It was kind of like when Conor McGregor won his second belt. He told everybody, where's my belt? Where's my belt? They couldn't find the belt, so they went back and borrowed Tyron Woodley's belt from the back and brought it out. So the belt that he's holding up in the cage that he's got strapped over both shoulders, one of them isn't actually his belt. It's Tyron Woodley's belt from another weight class. So that's what it kind of felt like there. All right, so let's get into it, guys. We know everybody gets excited for the draft. We know, obviously, the players are excited. It's a dream come true. Their families are excited. Fans are excited because there's hope, and they think the future is here. But what does Vegas make of the draft? What does the draft mean to you guys, the experts in Sin City?
The odds, Jonas, do not move at all. Vegas says that the draft is full of sound and fury, but it signifies nothing in terms of who's going to win the title and how it impacts the odds going forward in Vegas.
And just comparing that to what we see in the NFL, to where the NFL, you could see a franchise quarterback go, or you could see a team draft a star linebacker, an edge rusher. Is that normal to see a draft take place, or is this just an NFL, NBA thing and have it not impact anything that you guys watch in Vegas?
No, it's actually very true in the NFL as well. Let me clarify, however, certainly having the number one or the number two pick helps your odds to win an NBA title, but where all the movement in Vegas occurs is when the ping pong balls come out of the machine, and as soon as they do, we see a situation where New Orleans went from 300 to 1 to 60 to 1 to win the title. Well, guess what? Wake up this morning, New Orleans is still right around 60 to 1.
Yeah, it was already priced in, Jonas. And specifically because New Orleans wasn't expected to get the number one overall pick. So as soon as that was announced, that's when Vegas adjusted. After the pick was actually made for Zion last night, no adjustment. In fact, no adjustment on any of the 30 NBA teams when it comes to winning the title. And I'll say this, it makes some sense because oftentimes, most of the time, who's drafting? Who's drafting at the top of the draft the players that can have an instant impact? Usually the worst teams that have no shot at winning the NBA title. So that's another reason why we don't see much movement when it comes to the future odds, Jonas.
Now, obviously, we know how the top of the draft went. No secret whatsoever. Zion Williamson went number one overall, and he talked about going to New Orleans earlier.
Yeah, I feel like they're excited, and I'm just as excited. But I finally get to go do what I love for as a job, and I'm just ready to work.
So, Brad Powers, we know that Zion is excited to be in New Orleans. We know that New Orleans is excited to have Zion. But how excited is Vegas for Zion to be in New Orleans with the Pelicans?
Still, you can bet a season win total on New Orleans right now. And we already mentioned 60 to 1 to win the title. So, long shot at best to win the NBA championship. Season win total, though, says New Orleans is going to be a losing team, just like they were a year ago. I'll say this. Vegas, the money's coming. We haven't seen much money yet when it comes to New Orleans, other than that direct movement right after the ping pong balls were announced. But the money is coming, and it's coming in waves all summer long. It'll be trickling in, and then especially in September and October, where the public starts getting involved. Who do you think, Jonas? Is the public going to bet an over and under on a season win total when it comes to New Orleans with all the hype surrounding Zion?
Oh, it's going to be an over. It's going to be like Cub fans. It's going to be, I think every sport has a fan base that's just unrealistic. And when there's a lot of buzz that surrounds it, whether, and we've talked about the Manny Pacquiao hype in boxing, Pacquiao fans are so devoted. They're going to show up and they're going to bet on him regardless. I think that We're going to hear so much about them. We're going to see highlights. We're going to see the summer league. We're going to see all of that. So to me, just and you guys know more than I do, I would expect that a lot of money would come in on overhype of the New Orleans Pelicans moving forward.
I agree. Current season win number 34.5. And this is a case, and I'm going to make a comparison with an NFL team, the Cleveland Browns. So the Cleveland Browns opened up their season win number at 8.5. There's unbelievable hype on the Cleveland Browns and how good they're going to be this year. Their over-under is already up to 9. There's extra vig on the over. So if you were going to bet the Browns over and you knew this good story was coming and this rabid fan base and of bettors was going to back them, bet it before everyone else bets it. I think the same is true for New Orleans. Play the over 34.5 now or as soon as one of your books has it available, because we're going to have an entire summer of people grading the NBA draft. And who are they going to give an A? They're going to give an A to New Orleans. They're going to give an A to Atlanta. They're going to talk about how much better New Orleans is going to be this year. New Orleans won 33 games last year. They're going to project New Orleans to win more than 35 games. So why not bet it earlier rather than later?
And Jonas, would love to tease ahead here. Should I go ahead and give a best bet since we're on New Orleans, or should I tease it towards the end of the show? It's going to shock you. I might be a little square with this one, but I have a best bet concerning New Orleans at the end of the show.
Okay, yeah, because I know we have a duel to the death involving the Utah Jazz that we're going to bring on air later on. So that'll be, so I don't know if we're going to have time. There's all this sort of, there's a back and forth that happened before the show that we're going to bring on into the show. So that'll be a lot of fun. Now, Fez, you mentioned it, and for people driving around that maybe aren't as familiar with some of the terminology and some of the lingo, VIG. Explain what the VIG is.
Yeah, so the VIG on most bets, you're risking 11 to make 10. That's how the dastardly bookie makes his living. He doesn't let you bet 10 to make 10. And so what happens when a bet becomes popular? Well, the bookies start charging more VIG on that number. So whereas you might be able to bet New Orleans over 34.5, lay $1.10 today, Jonas, maybe a week from now, that over 34.5 might be minus $1.30 on the over.
So they may not adjust the actual over-under, but they're just going to charge you more if you want a little bit of the action.
Yeah, usually they're going to change the VIG in quotations first before they actually change the number. This early on, though, if they get enough big enough bets and they respect the players, then, you know, I'll transition this as an example in college football. You know, most often during the season, you know, if it's around a key number of 3 or 7, bookies are much more likely to change the vig on that than change it to 6.5 or 2.5 off a key number of 3 or 7. This time of year, though, when it's mainly sharp players betting, sometimes they're not afraid to go ahead and change a half win.
And this happened with the Cleveland Browns, who opened 8.5, and then the over became -$1.10, over -$1.30, Browns over 8.5, lay $1.50, and the bookies just said, you know what? Everyone's betting over at any number. We got to move these Browns up to 9.
I always say, it's like when your parents would yell at you when you were young and they tell you to get over here. On the count of 3, 2, 1.5, 1.25. What? That's when you knew you had him right in the palm of your hand. All right, straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox in for RJ Bell alongside Brad Powers and Steve Fezzik. Okay, so let's talk surprises. Some of the biggest surprises for you, Brad Powers, you've watched all these players in college. You know how these guys have performed, the one and dones, their recruiting, all of that. Any big surprises for you after last night's first and second round of the NBA draft?
The biggest one had to be part of Fez's best bet. Well, we'll tease that to the B block on Bol Bol, who Fez might have put a curse or something on Bol Bol last night. A couple of the other ones, and these odds were available, whether it be Jersey or Vegas or in faraway places. A couple of the big surprises, Taco Fall. If people follow college basketball, Taco Fall is the big 7'5" center from UCF. They almost beat Duke. He was a monster favorite to be drafted last night, like anywhere from -200 to -350. So you had to bet at least $2 to win $1, or upwards of you had to bet $350 to win $100. He doesn't get drafted at all, so that was a big upset. A couple of player-specific draft options for these players. And yesterday we were talking about draft positions. Over, under 12.5. Will the player be drafted before 13, or will they be drafted after that? Nasir Little was a guy that fell just about far as anybody. His over-under draft position was 12.5, and the expectation was he would be drafted before then. He was like a -200 favorite to be in the top 12 of the draft last night. He goes number 25. The over cashes at more than 2-1 on him. Another player that really fell, Brandon Clark, the Gonzaga guard. Over-under draft position for him was 13.5. He doesn't go until number 21 to the Grizzlies there. So a couple players really fell. And again, we'll talk more about the player that fell the most that was part of Fez's best bet yesterday.
Yeah, the Taco Fall was interesting because I remember watching him, and especially in the NCAA tournament in that game that they should have beat Duke, in which Brad Powers was already counting his money because he had the field, I believe, against Duke, if I'm not mistaken, and the ball rimmed out at the end of it. But he doesn't look like the frail 7'5", 7'6" player that we're used to. He doesn't look as frail as a Bol Bol. He looks like he's actually got more of an NBA body. So when he didn't get drafted, and I remember I was, you know, looking on Twitter last night because I thought, am I missing something? Isn't he supposed to go at some point? Why do you think he didn't go last night, Brad?
Well, I mean, look, he fell. The other 7-foot guy, Bol Bol, fell. I mean, I would just say, generally speaking, the game has changed as far as the NBA. Look, yeah. When I was growing up, and I'm not that old, I'm in my mid-30s, it was still, you know, very prominent when I was in my young age. I mean, it was a down low type of position. If you could get the Patrick Ewings of the world, the Hakeem Olajuwons of the world, those were the marquee players. Shaq, obviously. Those were the guys that were once in a generational type talents. Now, as we moved along, you know, Steph Curry's changed it. It's become more of a perimeter type of league. And or you can get a guy like a LeBron James that can play, you know, any multitude of positions. I mean, the center position has been devalued more than any position in the NBA over the last 10, 15 years.
And the days of having a goalie like Mutombo underneath just swatting balls, being one-dimensional, I think is long gone. And what everyone's looking for is getting a Jokic, you know, a guy who can do everything.
It is straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox in for RJ Bell alongside Brad Powers and Steve Fezzik all the way up until 7 p.m. Eastern time here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, a member of this show may have cost one NBA player millions of dollars. Find out who that is next here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Now I'm on the road, half a million for a show, and we started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team. Yeah, started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here. Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox in for RJ Bell alongside Brad Powers and Steve Fezzik. Coming up here in just a few moments, we're going to tell you about how a member of this show cost somebody in the NBA potentially millions of dollars. Before that, though, we need to go to our Vegas weather report. He is in for RJ Bell, and he is ready to give us a report high atop, standing next to the Statue of Liberty at New York, New York, and his name is Bradley Powers. Bradley, how's the weather looking?
Thank you, Jonas. We each and every day, we love bringing the fun of Vegas to you guys out there, and right now, the temperature on the Strip is 95 degrees, and the neon is pulsing. Back to you, Jonas.
That's and his first day is summer, I believe, right?
It is the first day of summer.
Doesn't feel like it. To be honest with you,
I don't want to get too technical here, but our last 3 years when it's been the summer solstice, our average temperature has been like 116. So this, I mean, even though it's 95, it's kind of a break for us here in Vegas. This is beautiful this time of year, Fez.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you had under 111.5 on the high today, you cash easily.
Well, for all the people in Alaska who bitch and moan because they stay in their igloos all year because it's like minus 20 and they're on the set of Alive, just want you to know that it's in the 60s out here in Southern California. Okay, so we feel your pain. We know exactly what that grind is like. So, all right, guys. So before we get into how an NBA player was cost millions of dollars by a member of this show, we need to touch on one of the teams that everybody is giving rave reviews to. And Brad, that team is the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, and let's talk about an Atlanta team that's been doing some great things. A couple of their top players are their youth movement. You're talking about Trae Young and obviously John Collins, two guys that average 19 points per game, two guys that are 21 or younger. So this was already a team that was going to be, you know, I would say upward trajectory moving forward for Atlanta. And then what does Atlanta do? They go in and trade and move up and get the number 4 pick, DeAndre Hunter. He's one of the best defensive players coming out of the ACC in quite some time. Can guard the 1 position, the 2, the 3, the 4, and the 5. And obviously, second half overtime of the national championship game showed that he also has an offensive side to him as well. And then with the 10th pick, Cam Reddish out of Duke. Perfect spot for Cam Reddish. If Cam Reddish has to be your first or second scoring option, you're in trouble. But on this particular Atlanta Hawks team, where he's going to be the 3rd or 4th guy, perfect spot for him. 2 top 10 picks, 2 A-pluses, in my opinion, on who they got at those 2 picks. I think the up arrow for this Atlanta Hawks team is up, up, and up.
Now, I mean,
and here's another
I was going to say, if only we had somebody from Atlanta who actually could chime in on this topic.
Daryl, you agree with that?
I say hats off to Travis Slink again for another great NBA draft, man. Think about last year bringing in Trae Young. This year you bring in guys like DeAndre Hunter, bringing guys like Cam Reddish. You got good defense. Again, you said a great thing with Cam Reddish. He actually has the time to develop there in Atlanta. I think that's going to be a squad to watch.
And I'm, you know, I'm spitballing here. I'm going to go with a bonus bet right now. I know this is going to sound square, but give me the Hawks over 32.5 wins for Atlanta here. Season win total over 32.5 wins. The Hawks won 29 games a year ago. And not only do I think the team's getting better, but I mean, look at this division. The Southeast Division in the NBA, I mean, the Hornets, the Heat, the Magic, and the Wizards, no team right now, Jonas, is expected to have a winning season. All the season win totals are 38 and under. Kemba could be gone. He could be out of there. John Wall's hurt to two of the best players in the division. This might be square. I do expect the number to go up. Over 32.5 wins, Atlanta Hawks season win.
Is that like the NFC West from a few years ago when Seattle went to the playoffs and they were like 3-13 because somebody just had to go? Fez, what do you make of the Atlanta Hawks?
Yeah, I really like the over 32.5, and I will make the case it's not a square bet. This is what I would call another one of those good story bets. We talked about how we're bullish on New Orleans, and we're bullish on Atlanta. Let's face it, these are the two teams that pretty much all the experts are going to give A's for their draft and their offseason. So because of that, the square bet is to wait until Halloween and right before the season tips off and bet the Atlanta Hawks to go over, oh, I don't know, 36 wins. No, bet them over 32.5 right now when the number is still low.
And guys, and Fez, while we have you here, straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio, just an outstanding breakdown of the Atlanta Hawks from both ends, from Brad and from Steve Fez. So you're probably thinking to yourself, man, this is what a quality show here. They're just handing out winners. They're talking sports. No evil intentions on this show. Nobody's out to get anybody else. Nobody's out to ruin anybody's career. And then you saw something happen last night at the NBA draft where a certain somebody kept falling and falling, not literally, because that's a long fall, but Bol Bol, the center out of Oregon, Manute Bol's son, kept falling all the way until the second round of the draft. Some people projected him potentially a top 15 pick, and Bol Bol talked about his decline. This was last night after
what was going through your mind as the night went on and pick by pick passed and you didn't hear your name?
I mean, it's rough not going where I thought I would go, but I'm really just blessed to be here and make the best of my situation.
Yeah, and that's all he can do is make the best of his situation, because that situation was made worse, potentially, by one Steve Fezzik. Fez, please explain.
Yeah, so I bet Bol Bol over 15.5, and the reason I bet
you
him over...
You didn't just bet it. You gave it out to America yesterday on the show.
Millions and millions of people fading Bol Bol, and my case was not that I had personally scouted Bol Bol. Of course, I'd be concerned about a 7'2" guy that only weighs 208 pounds getting pushed around in the paint, but the bottom line is one thing I always do is I like to look at mock drafts and the most recent mock drafts, and who is rising and who is falling. And I saw a precipitous fall for Bol Bol, namely on all those mock drafts that were coming out the day of the draft. He wasn't being listed anymore at 14 and at 16. He was falling into the 20s. I even saw one mock draft bringing him all the way down to 29 with a, and this was at The Ringer, a place I very much respect. So with all that money, not money, but in all those projections coming way down on Bol Bol, I felt that 15.5 line was ludicrous. And what happened was Vegas got overconfident. They're like, well, how can the number be right a week ago and now it's wrong? Because the whole story has changed in many ways. When you're betting on things like this, it's almost predetermined. And it was clear that Bol Bol was not going to be a commodity that teams wanted.
72208. he could hide behind a flagpole. I swear to God. 72208. He's got a lot of bulking up to do. But nonetheless, he did go and he got everybody confused because he was wearing a Miami Heat hat and now he's going to be a member of the Denver Nuggets. And you hope. I was a big fan of his dad. I used to love when Manute Bol would shoot threes. He was way ahead of his time. So we'll see how everything pans out for his son, Bol Bol. All right. So we yesterday on the show, as Brad Powers pointed out, Steve Fezzik handed out a best bet. Unfortunately, it did not go Steve Fezzik's way. So you missed it by what, 30 picks, Fez? About 30 picks? Is that how far the, because he was a top 15?
Well, I won. Yeah, he won by 30.
I won
30.
By 30. Okay, so, yeah, I know it's confusing. Over 15.5 on Bol Bol, so I bet him not to be in the top 15.
And a lot of people were looking at potentially Boston to take him. They might be the team, and I think that was the breaking point there. Much like when the first running back's going to go off the draft board, they find the team in the first round that needs the running back the most, and that's where they set the mark. So Bol Bol goes 30 picks after where some people projected him to go. Brad Powers, you also handed out a best bet, but not only did you hand out a best bet, you also broke down the top 7 picks in the draft. So without doing this just on as a dry run, Brad, we want to bring in the band. So we have hired a band special for this occasion. They have turned on the amps. Everybody is mic'd up. So when they're ready to go, Brad Powers, take it away.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm ready for Michael Jordan, Bob Costas. We got game 6 of the Utah Jazz against the Chicago Bulls. I love this music. I'm glad Fox has this now. We'll start with the number 1 pick. No surprise at all. And we ran all these down. We told you on yesterday's show, these are going to be the top 7 picks according to the Vegas odds. Number 1, Zion Williamson. No surprise. In fact, if you wanted to bet Zion to go number 1, you yesterday had to basically wager $300 to win a dollar. That's how big of a favorite Zion was. Number 2, Ja Morant. Another monster favorite to go number 2, and that's where we projected him yesterday. You had to bet $50 to win a dollar on Ja Morant going 2. RJ Barrett at 3. Again, no surprise going to the Knicks for RJ Barrett, who, I'm glad RJ's not here. RJ Bell. Aren't we supposed to start paying a fine if we call him RJ Barrett?
Rowan
Alexander.
Oh,
Rowan Alexander goes three. You had to bet $15 to win a dollar on that bet. Now, here's where the confusion comes into play. Coming into yesterday's show, we thought Darius Garland, at least Vegas did, would go at four. However, breaking news, while we were doing the show, the Atlanta Hawks trade up to the number four pick. It looks like at least Woj was reporting from ESPN that they were eyeing DeAndre Hunter. So what does Brad Powers do? He gives out DeAndre Hunter in a matchup against Darius Garland, because you can bet this as far as the prop, who will be drafted first? DeAndre Hunter, Darius Garland. All week long, Garland was expected to go. He was a monster favorite. I said, not with this trade. Take DeAndre Hunter. He cashes 2-1. More on that in a bit, though. Some people couldn't cash. Dastardly bookies. Darius Garland then drops to five. Jarrett Culver at six. And finally, Coby White, who stands 6'5". And if you watch Coby White, 6'9 with the afro, he goes to seven. All seven players we listed yesterday go all seven. So Vegas basically on the money, Bez.
Yeah, most of those players, big favorites. And it goes to show that oftentimes you want to avoid those big favorites when you're betting on things that are not predetermined, like money line favorites. But when it comes to prop betting and the like, nothing wrong with, let's face it, betting $350 to win a dollar on Zion, probably a pretty good wager, right?
Yeah, if you had that, if they allowed you to bet that. But certainly, I think Fez brings up a good point. Pretty much more whenever you see some big odds changes when it comes to the prop markets, that's type of information that there's at least a good possibility of inside information. Don't be afraid to lay some of those bigger money lines, because unlike laying big money line favorites in the college football or the NFL, it's probably more likely to be profitable because there is at least that possibility someone has the inside info. Let me quickly say on the DeAndre Hunter, I'm going to read the Dastardly Bookies, because people said they listened straight out of Vegas. They took my advice and they went ahead and made some bets on DeAndre Hunter. This is what one of our listeners sent to me on what happened with his draft prop bet. And this is coming from this sports book. Your wager on draft props for DeAndre Hunter has been deleted. As stated in the contest, any prior knowledge of the outcome will void all wagers. Thank you, the management. Are you kidding me?
Prior knowledge? What was he, in the Atlanta draft war room?
Yeah, I know. Prior knowledge? He's just betting on information.
Okay, so who got that voided? Who was? Is that just in general? Anybody that bet on that? Or is that
depending on the sports book, some paid out, especially stateside. People had to pay out that. Otherwise, the phone call goes up to the gambling committee or whatever for that specific state. But some offshore places, that's what they do, the Dastardly Bookies.
Okay. That is the advantage of betting in Vegas, Jonas, is that there is a gambling commission, and the rules state that tickets go as written. So that you can't put any of these caveats out there that a ticket can be voided. If LSU is playing Louisiana Monroe and they make Louisiana Monroe a 35-point favorite and you bet LSU plus 35 in football, you have action. That is a true life example.
And here's, so this is the part that I don't understand. So is it because there was the trade, because Atlanta moved up and was going to, if the trade had never happened, they would have accepted all money. They would have accepted losses and wins. So because Atlanta moved up, they assumed that everybody knew the Hawks were going to move up.
I think, yeah, part of that was, you know, obviously Woj reporting that. Look, he wasn't says they're going to select DeAndre Hunter. He says, hey, they're eyeing DeAndre Hunter. So what's the, I mean, I don't get it. It's not like, look, Fez, how much could you really bet on this draft prop? A nickel, $500 at most?
Yeah, odds at most books varied from 100 up to at most 1,000 at some select books.
So Dastardly Bookies, I mean, people were betting on information like, hey, maybe there's whispers in college football or the NFL, quarterback's less than 100%. Maybe he's not going to play. So are they going to void the bets? All those people that bet, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, earlier in the week, prior to that quarterback being ruled out, are those bets getting voided? No. These bets on DeAndre Hunter shouldn't have been voided. It's not like it was an official announcement that they were going to take him. This is, I mean, almost ridiculous. Criminal, Jonas.
That's ridiculous. I had a run-in with a bookie one time at the Luxor. I walked up there to cash my ticket. I had bet on Randy Johnson, and it was the next day. And listen, got after a little bit that night before, and walked up there, stumbled up there the next day, probably reeking of booze, handed the ticket over, and they said, sorry, you lost. And it wasn't until then that I realized I actually bet the opposite of what I thought I bet. So the entire night before, I was rooting for the wrong team, and I had no idea. So there's that. Yeah, $18 down the drain. All right, straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox in for RJ Bell. Brad Powers, Steve Fezzik. Coming up in about 12 minutes from now here on FSR, there is one team in the NBA that we are going to have a fight over, all right? A fight, because somebody is calling their shot, and it could be very controversial. So we'll get to that here about 12 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio. We're talking all about the NBA draft last night, and of course, Zion Williamson going number one overall, Brad Powers, to the New Orleans Pelicans, but maybe not the best thing considering that we do have odds now for who will be the rookie of the year next season in the NBA.
Yeah, and natural transition. Guys just got drafted. You know, how are they going to do their rookie season in the NBA? These have been posted here in Vegas. Zion, the favorite. Clear favorite. In fact, Zion's minus 300. He's a bigger favorite to win the rookie of the year than what the Warriors were to win the championship, but money has been coming on a certain player here in the last 24, 48 hours. It's the number two guy as far as the odds. Ja Morant, who went to last night, his odds have dropped a little bit here. Wink, wink. I thought I mentioned Ja Morant yesterday, maybe having a really good NBA career. Not saying anything. Just maybe some people are out there heeding some of the advice I'm giving out. RJ Barrett's next, plus 450. Darius Garland, 10-1. DeAndre Hunter, 12-1. Zion, the overwhelming favorite, but Jonas, you brought this up and made a very good point. As far as rookie of the year, when's the last time a guy at the four or five position, and by all accounts, it looks like Zion's going to play the four. When's the last time a guy like that won rookie of the year? It's only happened one time in the last 8 years. Karl Anthony Towns won it a few years back, but other than that, it's been guard, 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 guard. Kind of helps, Jonas, to have the ball in your hands.
Yeah, I would think that was my thought behind it, because let's be honest, Zion's going to New Orleans. The plan there is that Lonzo Ball is going to be the guy with the ball in his hands, and he's going to be the facilitator, and he's really going to try and run that offense. And I just see Ja Morant, who's already gone, who's in Memphis. Mike Conley is gone from Memphis. I think they're going to turn over the keys to the franchise more to Ja Morant. And although there's a lot of buzz and a lot of hype coming in on Zion Williamson, I just think Ja Morant's in a better situation. Maybe not a better team. I don't think any of us think that Memphis is going to be better than New Orleans, but I think he's in a better situation to be able to shine more and thus take home that Rookie of the Year honor.
Yeah, and for those that were just, you know, finding out about Ja Morant come NCAA tournament time, here's a kid, and they had this stat on last night's broadcast, that was the first player in college basketball since they've been keeping track of the stat basically my entire life, the last 40 years. First player in college basketball to average 20 or more points per game and 10 or more assists per game. It's the first 2010 guy points and assists in college basketball in 40 seasons. So he's already kind of a stat guy. And who else is Memphis going to go to on that team? Would not be surprised that Ja Morant, at least for this season, has better numbers than Zion. I think that's a decent bet there for Ja Morant to win Rookie of the Year, not the overwhelming favorite, Zion, Jonas.
Now, the other one, and this also involves a guard, is Chris Paul. There is a prop bet out there for Chris Paul and where Chris Paul will call home next season. Brad, what are the odds say? Because Steve Fezzik threw out a strategy behind how he would bet this, which is amazing and mind-boggling all at the same time. So please, first give the odds for Chris Paul's whereabouts next season.
Overwhelming odds that Chris Paul stays in Houston. And Fez, you actually have those odds.
Yeah, so Houston Rockets him to stay. You got to go ahead and risk 700 to win 200. And obviously big favorite there, minus 350. The other odds to go to the Lakers, 7-2. To go to the Clippers, 7-2. Knicks, 6-1. Dallas, 8-1. Brooklyn Nets, 12-1. And get this, Jonas, if you want to bet 700 to win 200 on Chris Paul to stay at the Rockets and 200 to win 700 that he goes to the Lakers, you'll break even as long as he plays for the Rockets or Lakers. If he goes anywhere else, you lose everything.
So you would play that.
No, the dastardly bookie taking all that vigorous.
Come on, Vez. Why wouldn't you? That's something like something I would do. Come on. It's like playing the paying penny slots. That's the great thing about penny slots. For a buck, you just bet all 200 lines. And you can't lose unless you do a bunch. You just got to sit there long enough and hope they keep bringing over free drinks. That's the whole plan behind the penny slots. But
and let me ask you guys, who in their right mind would want that Chris Paul contract?
Nobody.
I mean, are you kidding me? It only gets worse. I think $38 million this year, then $41, then $44 million for a guy, Fez. Where's he at in your power rankings right now?
Well, I'm embarrassed to say I had Chris Paul still in my top 20 in after-hours emergency meeting. Let's just say that I have updated my NBA top 20, and Chris Paul at age 34 is no longer in my top 20.
Well, what are they going to do with those State Farm commercials? It's like the pizza commercials with Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster. Those are now gone. You can't show those anymore. Everybody knows you're full of crap if you show those because they don't get along. So now what do you do with the State Farm commercials?
Personally, the clutch commercial with the mascot was my favorite.
Yeah, with the T-shirt cannon. But it's more like the gun off the Predator, where it's got like it's almost like a Gatling gun kind of thing, the T-shirt cannon.
So. The mini gun.
Yeah, very good. All right, so in that segment, we talked everything from Ja Morant all the way to the gun on the Predator. So that is a well-rounded segment here on Straight Outta Vegas. Jonas Knox in for RJ Bell alongside Brad Powers and Steve Fezzik. Coming up next, it is going to be a fight to the death involving one team in the NBA. Wait till you hear the shocking proclamation next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in 10 minutes from now on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates, it will be the Odd Couple here on FSR. Jonas Knox in for RJ Bell, Brad Powers, Steve Fezzik alongside me. And guys, we teased this, we promoted this. It is a duel to the death. Now, normally when you think the Utah Jazz, you don't really think violence, right? I at least I don't. I think, obviously they've had a couple of run-ins, but I think John Stockton, I think Short Shorts, I think Mark Eaton. That's what I think when I think of the Utah Jazz. But the Utah Jazz were a topic before the show in which there was a big disagreement about where Utah will finish next season. So go ahead and take it away.
Yeah, and before the show, we're going to pull back the curtain a little bit here. I don't think I've seen Fez almost jump out of his chair like that. I mean, Fez, what are you, mid-50s, working on, what, almost 60?
Mid-50s.
Mid-50s? Anyways, one of our other guys here, producer and content provider, Sleepy J, made a comment about the Utah Jazz possibly not making the playoffs. Did I hear that correct, Sleepy?
Yes, you did. And I got 8-1 from Fezzik on my bet. Brad, here's my projection. I want to know what the West is going to look like next year. I'm not sure what the Clippers are going to look like. Will they end up with Kawhi? What about the Mavericks with Porzingis and Doncic side by side? Spurs, Dejounte Murray coming back. He's going to be alongside Aldridge and DeRozan. And what about the Kings? They have a young nucleus looking a little better. Kyle Guy picked up in the draft. Nice shooter. Plus, you have the Lakers. That team missed the playoffs last year. You have to make room for LA now. They're the favorite to win the title. The most hyped team right now is the Utah Jazz. Everybody's buying them, so I'm going to sell them. They won 50 games last year. The 8 seed won 48. So you have to make some room. I think the West is going to be very, very competitive. I'm selling the Utah Jazz. Everybody's buying them. I got 8-1 from Fez. Thank you, Fez.
Yeah, and I'm buying the Utah Jazz. I love the acquisition of Conley. They've got a tremendous starting five. I'll make a bold statement. I'll predict Utah winds up with the number one seed in the West. I'm not going to say they're going to win the West.
You willing to bet on that?
I'm willing.
Even money?
No. All right. But I am willing
to
bet.
I give you 2-1. You got them in the one seed?
I will go ahead and bet Utah plus 200 that they will wind up with the number one seed.
Wow. That's one bet. Keep going.
And Hold on. Wait. I don't even bet. And I would take that. Are you serious?
All right, we got another bet.
Right now, the Lakers and Utah are the co-favorites to win the most games during the regular season. And if you recall, Utah, with that tricked-up altitude advantage, always gets so many cheap wins when teams come in on back-to-backs and basically mail it in Utah. And I'd argue Utah has the least variance of all these teams. Heck, do we even know if Golden State's going to make the playoffs? Do we even know if Houston's going to make the playoffs? So much uncertainty. No uncertainty with Utah.
Fez, you got a bet from me. You got two bets because I think, look, as much as I think Sleepy might be smoking something prior to the show, minus 800 is too high because of the uncertainty. I agree with you. They're going to make the playoffs, but not at that price. More best bets coming here, Jonas.
That's right. And Brad Powers, you are up, and you will go with the team that picks first in last night's draft. That's New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah, we teased it earlier. I'm going to get ahead of this before the line moves. I'm going to bet a season win total on New Orleans over 34.5 wins. Here's a team that won 33 games last year and had arguably some of the worst team chemistry of anybody in the NBA. Combo of Ball, Hart, Ingram, Zion. Give me that over Anthony Davis. I'm going over 34.5 wins, New Orleans Pelicans.
Now, I know what you're thinking out there. God, where can I go to get a WNBA bet, for God's sakes? Well, you can go right here, and his name is Steve Fezzik.
Going to the WNBA, we're going to back Indiana +5 at Chicago. It's all about Chicago being overrated right now. Chicago is 5-2. They've had five close wins. Chicago's been blown out twice, so that record says 5-2. The truth is Chicago should be a below 500 team, and the spot favors Indiana. Indiana has recent revenge. My bet is on Indiana +5. Against Chicago.
There it is. It is straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox, Brad Powers, Steve Fezzik, Daryl, John Ramos, Sleepy J, all the crew. Appreciate you taking part in the show on a Friday. We're back on Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Straight out of Vegas!
We are!